If you see something, say something. At Reply, weird things come with any weird story you find on the web, and you can help make weirdthings.com even weirder.
Mike Ray, former cop and body double for a world-famous action star, was ready to put show business behind him when he was asked to do one last favor for Hollywood's hottest new actress. All he had to do was find her the necklace from a forgotten film and not get killed in the process. From the insane house parties of Malibu and the reclusive mansions of Beverly Hills to the scorching California desert, Mike finds himself in a scandal involving one of the world's most eccentric billionaires, the Nevada Mafia, and a sadistic Estonian porn kingpin. To find the necklace, he'll have to blow the lid off a secret buried in the California desert that stretches back to ancient Egypt, with an irresistible client who won't take no for an answer. If the job doesn't get him killed, she just might. Hollywood Pharaohs by Andrew Main has been described as a fast-paced love child of The Big Lebowski and Indiana Jones. Find out why readers have made this book one of the best reviewed in all of Amazon. It's Hollywood Pharaohs by Andrew Main, available for only $2.99 on the Amazon Kindle store. Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hey everybody, it's Justin. So we haven't had an episode in a week, and it's going to be a week before we could get the main three folks together, me, Brian, and Andrew. So what we decided to do is before NSFW show this week, make a little bit of a mini episode with me, Brian, and Chad Johnson, who you might remember from our Halloween episode a few years back. So this is a mini episode. It's not a full episode. Just to whet your appetite until we can all get back together, which will be next week. I love you.
Hello and welcome, everybody. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me as always, Brian Brushwood.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Our guest, because, as always, we sort of always wish that Andrew Main could be with us.
If only he would be less successful. That would be way convenient for us.
Yeah, yeah. He is indisposed. So we are joined by our old friend, Chad Johnson.
Hey, how's it going?
If I remember correctly, the investigator of the great, was it room 301? What was it? What room number was it? The haunted hotel room.
I'm sure we'll see it in the chat room. But yeah, so we're just kind of horsing around here. This is going to be short. I did want to talk, though, in some kind of reaction about the Mars Curiosity Lander.
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, for full disclosure, everybody who didn't catch it, Justin co-hosted along with Tom Merritt a fantastic coverage of the Mars Curiosity.
That you were a part of?
Well, I mean, yes. I called in basically to say, great job, gentlemen. But, I mean, you guys did a fantastic job of giving a full context for why this was such an important mission and also why the radio silence was so terrifying as you waited to find out. Because it was a hinky operation. If you watch the trailer that NASA put together for this thing, it looked like...
It was 7 minutes of terror.
Right.
Right.
It looked as though somebody had dared them to create the most complicated landing ever. It reminded me of that Mr. Show sketch, America Blows Up the Moon. Where it's like they had this plan where Greg Louganis would do a triple back flip and then
the circus chimp would hit the button.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
But he doesn't know sign language. He won't ask questions.
Exactly. No more moon. But the important thing, man, was they also did a good job of justifying it. They're like, okay, look, this is a one-ton rover. You can't use a parachute because ain't enough oxygen, ain't enough air on Mars to land the dang thing.
Yeah.
You can't bounce
it. That was in the official report. Ain't enough oxygen.
You can't breathe. I ain't afraid of no roller
coaster. What is you, dumb?
So they came up with this weird thing. And the other thing was they can't just land at Buck Rogers rocket style because they blast up fines crap everywhere.
Well, and also it would gum up the works of the rockets themselves because it's such a dusty planet.
Yeah, exactly. So they came up with this hybrid. It was like, let's make it as complicated as possible. It's like they got high and decided, all right, how about this for a landing?
Yeah.
First, the parachute. Or maybe it's like three guys arguing. One guy wants parachutes. Another guy wants rockets. Another guy wants like...
I don't know, cables. I love puppets.
I want to look like a marionette.
Yeah.
We'll just dangle the rover from above. And they're like, gentlemen, you can all have what you want.
Because that's the way that we do things here at NASA. People yell until we just staple
now
all the ideas
together.
Eat
your veggies and go back to go clean your rooms.
Chad, where would you describe your interest in space, honestly, on a scale from 1 to 10?
Honestly, I'd probably say 8. I'm super excited about it, and I follow it. Follow especially SpaceX and the Dragon module and what they're doing with Falcon and how Falcon Heavy. I find super fascinated, but I don't find it, like, when I get really fascinated with something, I try to pursue it as a career. And so I haven't done that yet.
So you're, like, intentionally keeping it at arm's length.
Right. I'm like, listen.
NASA,
like,
I love you too much.
I have.
That's why
I
can't see you.
I have looked at the SpaceX website a few times to see in their job section if there's, like, video producer needed. It's like, I was like, that'd be fun. That'd be really cool. Because they have videos that got to be made.
Sure.
Fun.
Sure, yeah. They have live stuff. They do live.
They do a lot of live stuff. In fact, that's what I think I like about SpaceX. Oh, and props to freaking NASA for this coverage. They did a really good job.
NASA, and I don't want to make light of the budget cuts in NASA, but part of me thinks that's why they're suddenly so media savvy is they understand that they can't take for granted the government dollars. They can't just say, we're NASA, we're space, because now you got they need to justify their existence and as well should be. I mean, there's a place for them to, to be managing the exploration of space and space-related American affairs. But it's kind of like Andrew Main points out, where it's like you don't expect the post office to make their own fleet of vehicles. You expect them to outsource giant chunks of the operation.
To buy cars.
Yes, exactly.
Right. You know.
Right.
Although the post office might not be the best government organization to talk about financial solvency.
Touché.
But all right, so curiosity.
Right.
Just give me, the first word that came to your mind watching that.
Twitter.
I
don't know. I mean, like,
because you were looking. I mean, that was kind of what the interesting thing about this was because not only was it a big story, but it's not a universal story. It's not. I mean, it's going to be something that's going to make the top of news runs, but not as big as the Olympics,
right?
Other big stories. But what you wanted to do is you wanted to find a shared audience, right?
Right. And the reason that I found this so sort of fascinating in the end, especially after the launch and the sort of community that we sort of had and all that, was I was actually sort of surprised at how awesome an event this was. I knew that there was a NASA event coming up. I was actually pretty ignorant of what Curiosity was. I didn't even know that it was a one-ton, a robot. I just thought it was another robot they were kind of sending to Mars. I sort of felt like, Vikings done it before. This is just like another thing. And so I was pretty pretty stupid when it came to how exciting this event actually was. So it's actually hard for me to come up with a single word because the whole night of last night was an experience that I was caught off guard by.
If you were to compare your excitement to an animal.
It's a lemur.
Correct. The answer is a paraffin.
Okay, paraffin.
I just
realized, and this was something a couple years ago when we were at South By, when Andrew came to South By.
Yeah.
And Andrew was staying at Chad's place,
mm-hmm.
that we kind of made the realization that Andrew and Chad don't look unalike, that there is kind of like a...
They
a
do
brother,
actually, yeah.
Big brother.
They got they both have the same kind of Cheshire cat grin.
So now I kind of feel like
This is sort of like a live weird.
This is like having,
but in like some weird like Days of Future Past, like yeah. We get like crazy younger alternate universe.
Does that mean that I have to sort of take? Okay, guys, here's the scenario.
Yeah, you have to boss us around and right. Tell us why we're wrong.
You're walking down the street and you come across a car, and it's well, empty.
Okay, go
but
on.
But inside the car, you find this green goo.
Okay.
What kind of goo is it? Is it like pulsing or glowing?
No. It's like a slime. It's not glowing or pulsing or anything, but there's definitely a shine to it.
So, I mean, do we just think it's like Nickelodeon gack?
Is it all over the car? Is it a blob? Like
no, it's like, well, okay. So first you see this car and something's wrong with it because it's stopped and the door's open. And it's just in a very precarious situation.
Yeah, okay, so it's like it's on the side. Maybe the hazard lights are flashing.
Right. Something's wrong.
Maybe a little bit of smoke coming out of the engine.
Right.
And then we see, now, is this goo in the front seat, the back?
Right.
Is it sitting in the front seat?
Sitting in the back kicking seat? In the back seat.
Got to make my mind up which seat
which
should,
seat should I take.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly, yeah. Which cereal? Got to eat some cereal in the morning. Yeah, anyway.
Listen, I'm not going to tell the goo what to do. I'm not the goo's mom. I'm not Juan Guzman.
Juan Guzman? Is he so suddenly
it was
Latin?
A baseball
goo.
Player oh, okay. Named Juan Guzman. Okay. No one got that joke, but one dude who's a Toronto Blue Jays fan like laughed so hard.
And it's he funny. Just crashed his car, turned into a pile of goo.
Yes.
And he's about to be discovered by Brian and Justin.
Pile of goo.
You got it.
In the car.
Green goo.
What are they doing
so
this?
So when we happen upon it.
Okay.
Let it breathe.
Yeah.
Okay. We happen upon
let it.
Let
it percolate. First thing I do is eat it.
No, you don't eat it.
No, but that's, by the way, that's like the plot of half the movies. Do you ever see the movie The Stuff?
No.
The Stuff was awesome. And I kid you not, it's about a dessert treat that takes over people's minds. It's highly addictive, takes over people's minds and controls them. And the movie opens with two guys walking around, and they're like night watchmen, and they discover a crack in the earth where this white, fluffy goo is coming out. And one guy, the first thing he thinks to do is dip a finger in it and taste it. And he goes, wow, this tastes real good. And you're like, wow, no, try it.
Is Wait, he you... fat? Is one fat?
No.
They're both skinny?
Yeah, they're both. And so then they both eat all
of them.
They
usually start, it's a big fat slob guy.
Right.
Just like,
oh, yeah, sure. Like,
oh,
look at anything.
Oh, man, I'm hungry. I only eat four chili dogs.
Like, oh,
you normally eat six.
Let me eat this stuff coming out of the ground. So they...
Oh, the earth has provided me with marshmallows.
But then the next thing you know, these guys are running a dessert company called The Stuff. And they sell the stuff.
Just flash forward.
And it's highly addictive. And like, eventually they like make you eat it. And then like your eyes, you know, your mouth opens like a foot wide and the stuff comes out like the blob and attacks you. I remember there's a guy named Chocolate Chip Charlie. That's all I know about the movie. But
that
so,
sounds like a great pimp name.
Chocolate Chip Charlie? Yeah.
Chocolate Chip Charlie, I'm so sorry I can't pay this week. I'm so sorry.
Trying to play Chocolate Chip Charlie for?
Do you know why they call me Chocolate Chip Charlie? Because I will chip out your teeth.
Yikes. I'm so sorry, Chocolate Chip Charlie. I'm so sorry.
And I enjoy chocolate.
Also.
That was kind of incidental.
You know, now that I think about it, well, I think they only added chocolate just so it would sound chocolate chip, because I have a CH at the beginning.
Because Chip Charlie sounded like I was making
computer chips.
No, or potato chocolate. Crisps.
Yes, but you say chocolate chip Charlie, then people understand.
Who'd they thought also alliteration was so
think
good.
I'm black. But I'm really Puerto Rican. So, all right. So the goo in the car. Like, do we poke it? Do we call the police?
Yeah. Oh, I poke it. Well, I mean, what are you going to do? You're like, police? I'm pretty sure someone left some green slime in a car. Like, what kind is it? It's what brand?
But you,
GAC?
Brand?
I think it's GAC.
Like, there's many brands of green slime.
Sure.
Yeah, there's the Nickelodeon slime.
See?
There's
then
the.
There's one brand.
There's
the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Secret of the Ooze Play Kit slime. Okay. There's also, there was a version of Castle Grayskull. Where
I actually had that.
See?
Yeah, where it dropped.
And do you remember when you got that? And I remember how bad that stuff smelled?
Oh, it was horrifying.
And it's like they don't, they're like, why did they not tell me in the commercials?
What? It was one of those things where it was like, when you're a kid, your tolerance for messes is gigantic.
Oh,
right?
sure.
Like, you can just tear things up. But that was one of those things where, like, I dropped the goo on the character like they do in the commercials.
Yeah.
And, like, even as you, however young I was, I'm like, this is an unreasonable mess. Like, this is just, it's all over the place. What am I going to do with this?
Yeah, so...
So we get some He-Man characters and we drop the
gun. Yeah, no, I drop Trap Jaw in there and then and then I take Battle Cat and sort of poke it. And then I get Man-at-Arms.
So we poke. We poke it.
Yeah.
Right?
Does anything happen when you poke it?
Yeah.
When you poke it, it reacts as if goo does. No, inert.
Nothing.
It just sort of just... Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Oh, well, then, I mean, I reach in with my hand at that point. Yeah. I mean, maybe I touch it with my hand.
Wipe it up.
Wipe it up.
Yeah, just get yourself a wet nap.
Are you not worried that, like, so this is in the driver's seat of the car?
I mean, if it's anything, it's, you know, somebody got in an accident and then had an accident and then left his accident.
Oh, no.
And then, I mean, and then just left the car.
Yeah,
just,
he's so embarrassed.
This is so embarrassing.
There's no damage to the car.
Well, there's something wrong with the car. Maybe that's, well...
Have we tried to start it? Are the keys in the car?
Keys are still in the car.
I turn the keys. What happens?
Car starts.
Yeah.
There's no accident.
Well, clearly someone had an accident in the front seat.
I guess
that's all right. So there we go. That's the solution. Somebody had green accent.
Somebody had the Green Goblins. And
the Norman Osborns.
Yeah. He had a bad case of the Osborns. and then he had to split. Mystery solved.
Done. Next. Weird okay.
I mean, is there anything else? Is there anything else that it could be?
No. Normally, so this is the thing. This is the thing.
Normally, Andrew has a thing that
right,
wraps it up.
Right. Yeah. He's like, well, this turns out that it's true.
Yeah.
This guy was walking, and he saw this goo. Nobody knows what happened.
This is why you're a crappy Andrew.
Yeah, I know. It is. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. After I started, I was like, I wonder if Andrew just makes these stories up as he goes, because I'm not really good at that.
Yeah, you're good.
You
did good.
No, I was rocking and rolling.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was okay. It's great.
Thanks a lot.
So, Mars Curiosity. Is it... How much of our excitement yesterday was just because that's the newest movie out? The newest space movie out is the Curiosity landing, and how much of it is like, no, this is really a big deal? Because we don't know. We don't know how big a deal this is.
Well, I think, and this is something that I tried to make during the TNT coverage, was that I think it's more relevant to me, and I would suspect others, when there are people that are saying, hey, I want to go to Mars, and I have the money and the rocket technology to do it. And, like, every time that everybody said, when I've said crazy stuff like this in the past, that I'm dumb and stupid, I've, like, you know, put it right in their pipe and made them smoke it.
Sure.
So, like, that's exciting. And the fact that, like, this could be the beginning of our modern interaction with Mars, which would be different than anything we've ever seen before, is fascinating to me in a way that, hey, we just went to Mars and took pictures and, sure, did amazing science and did fantastic, you know, work. Yeah, that would not have been as interesting as this is because of the possibility of the context.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's amazing to me how quickly every single person who heard this story and the fact that this thing landed safely, immediately all anyone wanted to do was talk about sending people to Mars. Like, this is
That's the next step, though.
I mean, is it? How many more robots?
So that statement was wrong. This is not the next step. But it will eventually happen, and that's what everyone's excited about. It's like you give them,
it's certainly a big deal because
it seems more real now than it has in the past.
Oh, absolutely. Well, keep in mind, every time we have one of these successful missions, like our batting average, humanity's batting average for getting to Mars, not so hot, right? Up to this point,
yeah.
Except for who? Us.
USA.
For USA.
Right.
Wait, we totally lost one of our probes.
One of them.
One. It's once you factor in the rest of the world,
That
the batting average goes down to like 50-50.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember somebody in the chat room saying last night that like Russia, the Soviets were just like, one more probe. Throw again.
We throw probe into Mars. We go to Mars.
We say
me, Olaf, Dimitri, we get a big ba-boom. Go to Mars. He's not so
done. He's done.
Drink.
He's been to Mars.
Drink on, vodka. Three-eyed alien.
And then we come back.
No, it turns out they're people. What they've been calling satellites have just been people who were on a drunk. They're up there with their frozen space vodka.
That's their death penalty. You go to Mars. Yeah, like it.
But they dress it up like it's a award. Scientist. They're like, congratulations, scientist. And then they go sheet white. They're like, oh, here, no. Bottle vodka.
You go to Mars, yes? Ba-boom.
Boris and Allah.
Science.
So, yeah, no, I mean, I think, like, the more we do it, the more real it becomes. And you know, I think that the, I don't know. I mean, and obviously this is, you know, if we've talked a lot about SpaceX and you know, I think we're both, I think all three of us here, right. Me, Brian, fake Andrew.
Andrew's alternate universe younger brother.
Yeah.
Can't make up a good story in his life.
You know, like, we're all very much excited about the company. But I do think that, like, their example of what they've done factors into how we look at this. I don't think it's escapable.
See, to me, it's not the next step to send humans, but I think everyone eventually agrees that at some point there will be humans on Mars.
Well, no, it is. Why it could can't be a thousand be, years. Of course it's the right. next step.
It's going to happen.
It eventually. Might not be the last. It's not like we're going to send more people to Mars tomorrow, but it is right. the next step. It is one of a succession of steps that, you know, give us more data about not only Mars itself, but also how to land on Mars. Like, we put the heaviest thing that we'd ever put down on Mars down yesterday. You know, we will need to put down way heavier stuff if we want people to spend time on Mars.
Well, they have to use a sky crane every single time that they
put I think they'll need another solution for something even heavier,
I'll
right?
tell you what, I mean, to be honest, I think it's the kind of thing... I think it's going to be a space elevator eventually because it's like Mars? Once we, well, it's easier to make one on Mars than it is on Earth. You got way less gravity.
So you put something in orbit.
Okay. So a space elevator from Mars and then we like dock or whatever with it.
Right. So space elevator on, and in fact, this is something you guys really, and I mentioned this last week, I could have sworn, or no, somebody on Twitter asked me, he said he really likes science heavy you know, very scientific sci-fi, and I recommended Ken Stanley Robinson's Red Mars, Green Mars, Blue Mars, mm-hmm. and it uses a couple of tricks to cover the entire terraforming of Mars. Namely, they develop the story is of 100 scientists. They call them, you know, the 100, the first 100. That go. Did you read this?
I started it. I didn't finish it.
Okay. Well, it's amazing because it goes through. You spend so much time on Mars that it starts to feel like a real place. They develop a genetic therapy that allows them to kind of renew everything. It's something every 5-10 years you're supposed to go get the treatment, as it's called, to stay way way young. And so as a result, you have characters who live 200 or 300 years. And there's a debate over whether or not they should leave Mars the way it is in its pristine state. And these are the Reds and other people who want to terraform it, the Greens. It goes through the socio-political ramifications of when Mars declares independence and how ugly the finance. Oh, spoiler alert. Yeah. Well, so you start to see free Mars everywhere and you see the difference in attitudes from the children who are born on Mars versus the ones who immigrate to there. It's utterly fascinating and utterly believable and heavy, heavy on hard science.
Yeah.
Hard science. I mean, it's like you learn a lot about Martian. You know, you'll notice that by the time you finish reading that book, you don't call it Martian dust. You call it Martian fines because that's the scientific name for it because it's smaller than dust. The particles are, you know, 1,000th the size of a dust particle. You start to think about the Martian day being like, I think it's 24 hours and 20 minutes. And the way they handle that is they have this time called the time slip culturally, where when the clock comes around to midnight, it freezes at midnight for 21 minutes or whatever, yeah. and then keeps going. And they talk about how that's like this magical time when time literally seems to stand still. And it's really a fantastic read, and it makes you believe that Mars could be terraformed. They also talk about like one of the things they need is lots of nitrogen in the air. They need volume for the atmosphere, and so they start making a daily habit of flinging comets and meteors, ice-covered meteors. They air breaking, so it sort of dissolves as it goes into the atmosphere. And you know, you do that for a couple hundred years, and you got enough of an atmosphere. They also get around stuff like the fact that there's so little sunlight because you're so far away from the sun. They arrange a bunch of mirrors they call the soleta that reflect, basically creating this giant magnifying glass, taking the amount of sunlight and reflecting it such that you get the equivalent of an Earth-like distance from the sun.
Yeah.
It's really good, really, really good. And, in fact, there's a collection of short stories called The Martians as well that you should read.
So what was your point?
Mars. Mars is rad.
Wait, weren't you saying something about science?
Yeah, you should. There's a lot of science. Something about Mars. This is where Andrew would be great on the show.
Well, I have a question for you guys. Chat. Do you think that we will ever leave our solar system, or do you think that we are confined to this star? Because the next solar system, Alpha Centauri, is how many light years away? 17, 30 billion?
Well, the Proxima Centauri, I think, is like 2.5 light years away. But
right.
As far as we know, there's no planets there that are worth visiting. I forget what the other one is. But there's other places to visit. I'll tell you, it'd be a long way off. Yeah. So things that need to happen, it seems like to me, and we can argue about this, but, you know, space elevator has to become super cheap to upload materials out into low Earth orbit to assemble your, you know, equivalent to your space arc, right? And, I mean, the plans I've seen.
I mean, that just like, but for us to talk about that kind of trip now seems as ridiculous to me as somebody trying to talk about what we did last night in 1900. Like.
Well, so you don't think it's that ridiculous? Or, I mean, that's.
No.
That's 112 years ago. I mean, that's not. We totally did it. I mean, is your point that
but like, how would they in 1900?
Yeah,
how would they describe or 1912?
I'll tell you what, H.G. Wells got an awful lot exactly right.
Okay,
Jules Verne got an awful lot exactly right.
No, they were. And I guess here's my point. My point is that, like, even as close as they got, we measured them in hits and not misses.
Sure,
you know, like, and they were great, and they were visionaries, and their thoughts. You know, even to the point where you can question, you know, what shaped, you know, what, you know, in terms of what they understood and wrote compelling stories about and what science, you know, kind of went to go investigate, knowing that many people who were, you know, looking at these things were influenced by the works of those particular artists.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
like, to me, I don't know if judging the likelihood of it happening based on what we know as technological realities makes a lot of sense.
Well, let's not even talk about reality.
Yeah, there's fundamentals, though. It's like you got to create a thing to take you there, right?
And yes, so, but having it be tied to a space elevator, I guess, is my...
Oh, well, to me, the only way that we could do it is we figure out wormhole sort of style stuff.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Because... 2 light years. One, we'd have to get up to the speed of, you know, close to the speed of light.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I haven't even read anything, you know, philosophically close to, can we even travel that fast? I mean,
right.
And part of me thinks that probably we could, because I remember I was reading something about cars, and they thought that humans could not withstand 60 miles an hour.
Yeah,
like you'd get ripped apart at 60 miles an hour,
sure.
Like back way back when.
Right,
and so maybe it's just, you know, we can, you know, move that fast, but we all just fall,
right. Like literally are like severed. It's like a cartoon where like we got cut like halfway through.
Well, why not make? I mean, I could totally see. Let's say we get cryo sleep technology down to where we can safely store a human body for 150 years.
Yeah,
at that point, you throw some. You know, at this point. But before number one, we have to discover a planet, which means we have to send probes that go out, these artificially intelligent probes, and land and check out the area, send back pictures, and we decide this is a good place. Oxygen's a match. They got some local food. We ran this test. It looks like we can eat it. Cook an egg on it. Do a push-up on it. And now let's send out a space arc.
You know, it's funny because you're saying that it brings home a point that I didn't think about at all, is that, like, in my mind, the first step is to send humans. It's like, It's like,
oh, you're just
right.
It's a good thing, like, Chad's not in charge.
Right,
of
that, exactly. So. I'm just like, look, there's like this other solar system.
Let's just
humans go.
Well, and that's why.
So, like, just that extra step will add
hundreds.
So many years.
Hundreds of years.
I will say this, and just to slightly change the topic of conversation, I have heard from a lot of people, either by email or Twitter, that say that there has to be maybe a revisiting with me, you, and Andrew on the Weird Things podcast with the one man, the one way
ticket to Mars. Let's check in with Chad on this. We talked. Did you listen to that episode by any chance?
I caught the beginning of it, and I have heard the fallout from it. So yeah. I know the argument.
Sure.
When I read Red Planet, the hardest, and later, and then also reading the Ender Game series with Xenocide and yeah. some other those, where there are those one-way trips, those are the hardest moments for me because I just cannot imagine. I will agree that there are people in the world that may be able to make that trip, but I am not one of them.
Yeah.
Look at my family and say, well, this is the last time
you don't have that pioneer spirit.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, but see, we've already experienced. Okay, now.
But that's not my argument. Yeah. I'm just saying, as a person, I could not deal with that. But I do believe that there are people who have that spirit
who would be interested. How would you look at that person?
I'd be fine with it. Yeah, I mean that's their choice.
Okay. Right.
And
Justin,
I'm positive,
Andrew, not so much.
Right. And so
I don't think that lasts. Like I think that the idea of, I mean, even if it is an 80% chance that they're going to die on Mars.
Yeah.
I think it's different than a one-way trip.
Yeah.
If it's a 90% chance that they're going to die on Mars, then it's not them being pioneers.
But, okay, here's what I don't like.
Sending someone to die.
Right, but okay.
For the sake of having someone die on Mars.
Right, but you say sending someone to die, but I say have Mars's first colonist, have Mars's first citizen, first person. Now, what's the difference
not,
if I send...
Because you're not trying to start a colony.
Sure he is. That's his purpose.
But if you're not sending other people and you're not trying to build a colony and you don't have an idea that if they needed to come back, they could come back. We could try to do something, and there is a plan to do that in place. That's not a colony.
No, it is a colony. Okay, here is my plan, and explain to me how this is a bad thing. We send you and this first batch of equipment.
I did say that I was, because somebody paid for a Weird Things advertisement that had me swearing that,
that
I would
you
be
legitimately
the one
want to go. Okay, so yeah. I take you up on that.
Yeah.
We send you. It's a you know, a year long trip out there. Okay. You land with a batch of equipment, and we say there's enough gear to last you a year.
Just one person?
Yeah. There's enough gear to last you a year, and then and we plan to send a pod every 6 months. We're gonna eventually send you enough that you could build a second structure. Then we're gonna send enough that you can start growing your own food in there. We'll start sending you a fuel preparation module that allows you to gather methane from the atmosphere and start prepping fuel. 3 years from now, we're going to send another lone astronaut to come join you. And
that's
one person on a one-way trip, and you guys lost your crap over it.
No, that's not what you were saying.
Those are the words that I just spoke out of my mouth to you.
No, yes, now.
That's not what your point was before.
Where's the conflict here? Is it
the conflict
that there's
here
another
that,
person that
not,
would be sent later?
Because that's a completely different thing.
No, this person is going to Mars and is going to die alone on,
see,
die
that's,
on Mars.
That's how I understood it, though.
Setting up a colony is a different thing.
With more than one person.
The way that it was even described in the podcast, the whole thing that we brought up with this is because you wanted to play that podcast.
Yeah.
And the point of that podcast was send somebody up there.
Yeah.
To die on Mars.
Not
and
to
that's
die,
it.
To live on Mars. And eventually he will die. Why are you guys
but
obsessed with the dying part?
Because it wasn't.
But alone.
It was go up there, live alone, and die, and not send other people, and not build a colony.
So take
and
off.
Not have him be the torchbearer for other people. This only proves that we should have a whole thing, and we have to do it with
We have to do it with Andrew.
With real Andrew.
With real Andrew, not real alternate Andrew. Reality younger brother
I looked
Andrew.
Over because I thought that I saw Andrew. Peripheral vision. And I'm like, that's good.
All right, well, answer me this. Answer me this. Obviously, it suddenly changes things if we send another person after that. Does it change anything if it's still one person living there themselves? That and NASA says, as long as you're alive, it's much, much cheaper. It's the only way we could get there is if it's a one-way trip. We can, however, keep sending you supplies every 6 months forever. As long as you're alive. What would be wrong with that? Someone goes and lives on Mars, wants to live alone, wants to run all the experience, wants to be Mars's first citizen. He'll eat. He'll live a long, fruitful life, 30 years probably.
To me, it would not make sense.
Where are you to say
I don't see the point.
You don't see the point? Are you high as a kite?
I don't see why we do that.
Are you huffing paint?
I don't see why we do that when, if that is a reality, then what's to stop us trying to build a colony?
Wait,
I guess that's my point.
My argument would be if we send one person on a one-way trip, I would rather send 30 people on a one-way trip.
Okay, but we're telling you the budget has only one person. We can either do the mission or not. Chad, director of NASA, do you send this one person, who, by the way, can't wait to go, is excited, and he's going to go. He wants to go.
What is his objective? To help build that colony for later people?
Whatever you want him to do. Hey, bro, I'm just here for Mars.
For science.
I'll do whatever you want.
For science, we send him up
You want me
there.
To sweep Mars? You want me to sweep? I'll sweep up all that dust in a big old pile.
Fines.
I'll sweep them fines. Real fine, boss. I'm a fine sweeping
I'm uncomfortable with where your impression's
man.
Going.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I guess I wouldn't put it past.
See, Justin and Andrew's position is, no, this one guy should not be allowed to go. And that's the part that drove me nuts. This shouldn't be allowed.
I love how you also define what we're saying. And then get furious.
Wait, you guys just said no.
When I try to summarize your point of view.
Did I miss something?
Yes, you did.
What? Go ahead.
Listen, we can go forever, and we're already at 10 o'clock.
Okay, all right. You want to do picks?
No, that's maybe.
No, that's me.
No, this is kind of a mini-sode.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe it'll find its way online somewhere.
It's an amusing episode of our lives.
Thank you very, very much, Chad.
Of course. Joining us. Absolutely.
Thank you, Brian. Anything you want to mention to everybody?
Yes.
What?
You're free to go to Mars and die anytime you want. Because this is America.
In the Brushwood administration, y'all be free to go to Mars and die anytime you'd like.
Only one.
Only one, though.
Yeah. Husbands
More than
and wives.
Two and I lose the argument. All right, everybody. That is another edition of the pre-show. It's been weird.
You want to sponsor the podcast? Do you have $30? If so, go to weirdthings.com/sponsor and you can have Justin say whatever you want. He's a trained ape.